All right, what's going on, guys? We've got a lot of interesting developments going on with Russia and Ukraine and what's going on in Europe. Many of us are coming out of Thanksgiving week. As of recording of this, this is Sunday, December 1st. We didn't know if anything was going to escalate or if things were going to kind of calm down. Well, I can honestly say that it looks like it is escalating, not so much in bombs dropping or weaponry, but the rhetoric is picking up, and there's been interesting developments that has transpired, and there's been a new new information has been released regarding some of these articles that we've got today that we're going to talk about. There's a map that's come out that shows the impact of Russian weapons on major U.S. cities, as well as FEMA releasing a nuclear guide. And then another article came out today introducing a map that shows the best and worst states in the United States to live in the event that Armageddon would break out. Also, we have reports indicating that, you remember that Baltic deep sea cables, remember the sabotage that took place recently on that, and then the information came out indicating that China was responsible. Well, now there's new information saying that this attack was carried out by China, but it was ordered from Russia. So as I said at the introduction of this, a lot has escalated. And now, before we get started, let me tell you this as well. It appears that Zelensky is now saying that he will give up Ukrainian territory to achieve peace with Russia. So we've got all this and more on today's quick update. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, family? It is Sunday, December 1st, 2024. We are wrapping up the final month of 2024. If I sound a little sniffly today, it's because I am fighting off yet another head cold. Guys, I'm telling you, this is completely off the cuff. This has nothing to do with our update. But first of all, I want to welcome everybody to the podcast, to the broadcast, YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, wherever you're watching from, listening from, joining from, in the live chat, whatever the case may be. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving, wonderful time of rest. But right, literally days before we were scheduled to fly out on last week, it was on a Monday morning. I believe it was Monday morning. We flew out, and literally days before that, my youngest child, he's nine, he developed a head cold. And I was thinking, here we go, because I knew this was going to be the gift that keeps on giving. And of course, it went and it ran through our whole house. And this time, I was not the last one to get it. I was the third person to get it of four. Now my wife has gotten it. And guys, this has been, again, it's totally off the cuff. I don't know how many of you guys, am I the only one that has noticed, at least with our household and where I'm at, we have dealt with so many head colds and upper respiratory. It's like, this year has been rough. Like, you get over one thing, you start feeling good, then you get another one. You get over that, and then another one. It's like, my goodness. So anyway, you guys pray for me. This too will pass. And again, as I've said before, I'm back on my whole foods plant-based diet. I'm hopeful. I'm confident. I'm drinking more water than I ever have. I've stepped up everything, guys, the minerals, the vitamins, the water intake. And I'm expecting things to turn around in 2025 to be a year of divine health in Jesus' name for me and my household. And I don't know what you've been dealing with, but I'm telling you, the physical infirmities are beyond getting old. So anyway, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Let us know about it in the chat. If you flew, if you drove, if you stayed home, you chilled, whatever the case may be. Thank God we had a good travel. The only airport that was rough was our own, and that was the Atlanta International Airport. And this airport, guys, one of the largest in the country, so it's no surprise. I mean, it's literally insane getting through that airport. Then we get up in Virginia, and it's smooth sailing. It's crazy how the dynamics of the difference of these airports and other airports we've been to. I think the only other crazy airport we've been to is LaGuardia in New York. But nevertheless, had a good time. And there was no divisions, no strife, no discord with the family. Was great. And politics even came up, but we all acted like mature adults. I hope many of you guys can say that the same with your family. I don't know how that went down, but we knew I was very concerned that it was going to be kind of tumultuous with the climate, the political climate, but it wasn't. Now, speaking of tumultuous and things escalating, there was in the back of my mind flying out of town, you know, what if something were to get really crazy with this Russia, Ukraine, Russia threatening the West, and nuclear talk and all the rhetoric. But thanks be to God that no bombs were dropped, no missiles were launched. We're not in, some say we're in World War III, but at least it's not here on our shores here in the West. But that doesn't mean things are not getting crazy, and they are. And listen, before we start talking about this today, can you do me a favor? Go ahead and hit that like button. Help us get the word out. Share this podcast. Of course, take it a step further. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell notification. That's going to be for your benefit. And guys, we do have a free app. Maybe if this is your first time joining us and you didn't know this, we do have a free app available on Apple and Android devices. Just go to your Play Store, download it today. If you're watching by YouTube, by Rumble, or any visual of this, under the description of the video, it's going to say download our free app. If you'll just click on that, it's going to walk you right through it. And now you say, why do I need the app? Well, the app, guys, is going to give you right at your fingertips. You're going to be notified of every headline, every podcast, every breaking news, every prophecy update. And there's a lot of content that we will put exclusively on our website and on Telegram. Now, Telegram will post anything there. They don't censor us. So you guys that are watching us or follow us on Telegram, you'll know that there's the same articles that we post on the website and on the app that doesn't go on Facebook, Instagram. Twitter is pretty much, for the most part, they don't bother us either ever since Elon Musk took over. But these other platforms, YouTube or Google, which owns YouTube. Even in the community chat, we've been flagged for some things. So we stopped posting there, certain content, and, we stick to, again, the app, the main website. So get your app today, download it today, and you'll be blessed by that. And again, by the way, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And we want to welcome you. Listen, if this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you're new, where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get after this thing, guys. Let me pull up this first article. All right, here we go. Zelensky recently stated that, quote, I'll give up Ukrainian territory to Russia to, quote, achieve peace. Well, that's awfully nice of him. Well, let's see what this says here. Zelensky said on Friday night that he was willing to cede territory to Russia to end the war for the first time. The Ukrainian president said his country could give up land temporarily in exchange for a NATO umbrella over the territory Ukraine still holds. He added that after a ceasefire was agreed, Kyiv could, quote, diplomatically negotiate the return of the territory in the east that is currently under Russian control. Well, okay, so on one side of his mouth, he's saying we're willing to give up land for peace, but then he comes right around and says, but temporarily. And then what's in the middle of all this and what he wants in return is a, quote, NATO umbrella. Quote, if we want to stop the hot stage of the war, we should take under the, quote, NATO umbrella the territory of Ukraine that we have under our control. Zelensky made this statement in an interview with Sky News. That's what we need to do fast. And Ukraine can get back the other part of its territory, quote, diplomatically, he added. The comments represent considerable shift in his position. Kyiv has previously said it would continue to fight Russia until Ukraine was returned to its internationally recognized borders, which include the four regions annexed by Vladimir Putin back in 2022, as well as Crimea. Now, of course, all of this comes as Donald Trump prepares to take office with a, quote, promise to end the war on day one. And that's yet to be seen. Meanwhile, support for a peace deal is also growing among European allies. And again, I don't know about you guys, but anytime I see the word peace negotiations, talks for peace, I'm always reminded of Thessalonians that says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. All right, under plans floated by Trump's team, a peace deal would see the current front line frozen in place and Ukraine agreeing to shelve its ambitions to join NATO for 20 years. If agreed, the U.S. would pump Ukraine with weapons to deter future Russian aggression. Wow. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section there on YouTube and YouTube chat. Mr. Zelensky hinted in his interview that the NATO umbrella would not be full membership of NATO, something Putin has rejected as part of any peace deal. Rather, it could mean that, quote, NATO member states, including Britain, U.S., France, and Germany, providing individual security guarantees to Ukraine. In other words, we don't want Ukraine to officially be NATO on paper and to be members, but we just want to have Britain, the U.S., France, and Germany to have our back to defend us against Russian aggression. That's exactly what they're saying here. When asked in an interview whether Kyiv would be willing to give up territory to Moscow altogether in exchange for the full NATO membership, he said, quote, no one has offered us to be in NATO with just one part of another part of Ukraine. He added that, quote, it could be possible, but no one offered. He went on further and said he'd be willing to consider ceding the Russian-occupied parts of Ukraine in exchange for, quote, free parts of Ukraine to be brought under NATO umbrella. All right, meanwhile, I thought this was interesting. This was from Newsweek. Nuclear bomb map shows the impact of Russian weapons on major U.S. cities. All right, quote, it can yield the equivalent of 20 megatons of TNT explosives and has a range of up to 10,000 miles. An estimated 1,638,140 people would die in Washington. Meanwhile, in New York, 5,458,130 would die. And in Los Angeles, over 2.7 million. The fireball radius, in which everything would be vaporized by intense heat rising to millions of degrees Fahrenheit, would reach around 15.1 square miles. The more moderate blast damage radius, covering 442 square miles of the blast, would destroy residential buildings and probably cause widespread fires. Again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about, in the event, global tensions. Let's just go to the beginning of this. Quote, as global tensions escalate amid threats of nuclear war from Russia's President Vladimir Putin, Newsweek looked at the impact of a Russian nuclear weapon on various U.S. cities and their surroundings. Again, back in September, Putin lowered the threshold of nuclear weapons used by saying Russia would, quote, consider the possibility of using these weapons when receiving reliable information about a massive launch of means of aerospace attack and their crossing of our state border. Quote, this includes strategic and tactical aircraft as well as cruise missiles and drones and hypersonic and other delivery vehicles. Russia reserves the right to use nuclear weapons in the case of aggression, including those of the enemy. Using conventional weapons poses a critical threat. All right, Newsweek used maps produced by Alex Wellerstein, a professor and historian of nuclear technology, to assess what would the impact be if Moscow indeed carried out an attack with its R-36M2, also known as the SS-18 Satan missile. Did y'all know that? They called this the Satan missile, one of the largest and most powerful heavy intercontinental ballistic missiles ever built. Again, this Satan missile can yield the equivalent of 20 megatons. That's 20,000 kilotons of TNT explosives and has a range of up to 10,000 miles. And again, just to reiterate this, if this thing was to strike Washington, New York, or Los Angeles, wow, these are major cities in America. The death toll on Washington would be 1.6 million estimated. In New York, around 5.4 million, and in Los Angeles, 2.7 million. Again, this is the death toll. All right, and anyone within 2,360 square miles of the explosion, so that's anywhere within this. This is the thermal radiation radius, would be at risk of suffering third-degree burns throughout the skin, often painless because they destroy the pain nerves, which can cause severe scarring, disablement, and require amputation. Within the light blast damage radius, 3,490 square miles from the blast, glass windows should be expected to break, which can cause injuries. All right, so let's go. I'm going to go down here. Let's go to Washington, D.C. Now, again, this is all an hypothesis here. In the U.S. Capitol, where in any given 24-hour period, there would be over 6 million people in the full blast range of the simulated detonation, 1.6 of them would die. Right off the bat, just instantly, boom. And then there'd be over 2 million that would sustain injuries. The fireball radius would include Capitol Hill. Now, here's if you're watching the visual of this, this is an image of this. So, again, this is ground zero. This is where the bomb would hit. And then you got the impact zones. Look at the radius that this goes out. So this thing goes way out here. I mean, you're talking all the way up in here into Baltimore. And again, this goes all the way down past several states going down here to the south and then out here. I mean, this is huge. Again, this covers, what was this? We're talking about a range of 10,000 miles, okay? So they're talking about each one of the, you have this gray zone. You have this zone, you have this zone, and then just on impact alone, they said that there would be, again, this is in Washington, D.C., there would be 6 million people in the full blast range. Again, this is all four circles. So 6 million people in this diameter of this, in this range. And within that diameter, I'm going to go back up here, there would be 6 million that would die. That's right here, right in this range right here. And then you have over 2 million. And I suspect this would probably be the 6 million that would die instantly. Then all in these ranges here, the rest of this number to reach this whopping 6 million range, 6 million people and the full blast range of all four circles. And again, this is insane. In New York, now let's look at New York. Again, 16 million guys, 16 million people in this perimeter right here would be in the full blast range. 5 million would die, 5 million. And then over 5.6 million would suffer injuries. And the light blast radius would extend out to New Brunswick and Stamford. Okay, so that you're looking at the map here. Then we go to Los Angeles for you guys that live on the West Coast. There would be over 2.7 million in this entire perimeter that would die instantly. And then over 4.3 million injured. And again, this is a 24-hour period. They're on average 12 million in a full blast range of all four circles. So there's over 12 million in this full blast range. Then you have 7.6 million. Again, this is the full blast range, all four circles, simulated detonation in Chicago. And there would be an estimated 1.9 million fatalities and over 2.5 million injuries. And the half blast total area would reach across Lake Michigan. All right, here's Houston. This is in Texas, guys. Over 5.3 million in the full blast range, and then 1.2 million would die instantly, and another close to 2 million would sustain injuries. And then, guys, you can look at this whole thing. You got Phoenix, They did these simulations on all these major cities, Philadelphia, San Antonio, Dallas, and it goes on and on and on. Meanwhile, I thought this was interesting. FEMA puts out their nuclear guide, Prevent Radiation Exposure. Let's read a little bit of this. Quote, with Russian President Vladimir Putin threatening the use of nuclear weapons in his country, war against Ukraine, and with Middle East conflicts involving terrorist groups, the U.S. and its European allies are informing citizens how to respond should a nuclear attack occur. Again, FEMA. Now, we all know we can trust FEMA. I mean, they've never let us down, ever, right? I mean, they did such a wonderful job in the Appalachians with Asheville and with those places in North Carolina and places in Tennessee that were struck by Hurricane Helene. They did such a wonderful job that, I mean, why would we not want to listen to their advice? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Anyway, the Federal Emergency Management Agency has compiled a 258-page, you make sure you read every page of that, by the way, planning guidance for response to a nuclear detonation. Quote, if a nuclear detonation occurred, let me go back and pull this up. If a nuclear detonation occurred in an American city, it would be one of the most catastrophic incidents the U.S. has ever experienced. Wow. That was just a brain buster right there, wasn't it? I know you guys are so like blown away, no pun intended, by that tidbit of knowledge and information there. Thank you, FEMA. We would have never acknowledged or come to the conclusion of the ramifications of that. In its latest advice to be prepared for a nuclear explosion, FEMA says a nuclear explosion may occur within a few minutes warning or without warning. Of course, there'd be no warning. Now, stop for a second. Is that not sad that there be no warning? I mean, we have all these agencies. Let me just pull this back for a second, guys. We have all these agencies. We have FEMA. We have NASA. We have the WHO. We have the FDA, the USDA. We have all these agencies that are put in place to help us keep us safe, to warn us, to protect us, to prevention, all this stuff. And every one of these organizations have failed miserably across the board. How many asteroids have got through NASA? I mean, even the word NASA, people online have given them this acronym for NASA, meaning never a straight answer. That should tell you a lot right there. And how many times have they said, oh, well, this asteroid just skimmed the Earth and we never saw it coming. But yet we allegedly have spent, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, putting all these sophisticated, fancy, high-tech satellite imagery, satellites in space, telescopes, and all this stuff out there so that we could, quote-unquote, detect these things and prevent these things by giving us fair warning. Then where else do you want to go with this? FEMA? We've already talked about this. Everybody knows by now how bad FEMA has dropped the ball with this latest hurricane. For goodness sake, we're out of money. We're out of resources because we allocated all of the resources to the immigrants, the illegals. Then the news broke that they had employees that were told by their upper seniority, their bosses, to skip over homes in Florida that were devastated by the hurricane that had Trump signs in the yard. And then when they go on trial, they said, well, I'm being gaslighted. I'm being a scapegoat. I'm only doing what I was told to do. So FEMA has lost all credibility. All right, where do we go next? FDA? Are you kidding me? This organization that is supposed to be keeping us protected and our health and nutrition, and that's the USDA, excuse me, the USDA. We could do the FDA too. We could bunch them up together. I mean, do you trust the shots that they have put their stamp of approval on and sent them down the line, and you're the guinea pig? And then if anybody speaks out about injuries that were sustained from these things, then of course you're silenced, you're ostracized, you lose your job, you lose your employment, you're banned, you're shadow banned, your page is removed, your social media is destroyed, your career is destroyed, you lose your license, everything. We saw how that went down. And then the USDA, I mean, they have put their stamp of approval on all kinds of poisons and toxins that that people ingest in their body every single day, and they trust it because the USDA has put their stamp of approval on it. But now it's come to light like never before, guys. There's so much information out there now and revelation that has come forward on what we're eating and what we're putting in our bodies and ingesting it. Why do you think RFK Jr. is shining the light on this stuff and exposing this stuff? And, you know, we had this discussion about this in Virginia this past week. And I said, and this is my opinion, so don't get mad at me, but if you actually think that this guy is going to bring down a multi-billion, dare I say, trillion-dollar industry called the pharmaceutical industry, then friends, then you have much more faith than I do, because I just don't see that happening. I think you're going to find that he is going to be met with fierce opposition when he starts stepping into the ring with these pharmaceutical companies and big pharma. We're going to see what happens. I mean, hey, God be with this man. I pray that he gets a lot of stuff done to promote health and to get rid of all the toxins and the preservatives and the poisons that they have put in your food. My goodness, go to your store, pick up a box of cereal, pick up a box of potato chips. I know this is common sense to a lot of you guys, but you'd be surprised. Many people don't know how to eat. And you pick up this stuff and you read the back of the label, and it's got the paragraph this long, this wide, and it's got stuff you can't even pronounce. And you're ingesting all that stuff into your flesh, into your tissue, into your cells. And then we wonder why we have an explosion of diseases that our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents never even thought of, never even heard of. Nobody, guys, even when I was growing up, and I'm only 47, going on 48 next month. When we grew up, there was no such thing as gluten-free. We didn't have gluten-free. There was no such thing as fibromyalgia. There was no such thing as a lot of these restless leg syndrome. And we could go on and on and on, which, of course, Big Pharma and the pharmaceutical industry has created a pill. Of course they have, for every one of these diseases. And with it comes a whole plethora of 25 other symptoms that are worse than the symptom that you're trying to get rid of. Again, this is one of the reasons why, for me, the light went off years ago. But listen, we're creatures of habit. I like the sugar. I like the salt. I like some of the junk food. I like my sweet tea. And it's very, your body craves that stuff because you're used to it. But you have to detox yourself from that stuff. And then it's amazing how good you feel. But then you have life. You go out to social gatherings. You go out to eat with people. You go out to eat with church folks. And 99% of them don't think about this stuff. They don't care. They eat whatever they want. So it's very tempting to, even though if you've been on it for a while, you could easily fall off the wagon. And it won't happen overnight, but eventually you're going to start feeling like garbage again. The blood pressure comes back up. The symptoms start coming up. The inflammation starts coming up back up. The things that you put in remission are wiped out. They start rearing their ugly head again. You start feeling like dookie again. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, don't miss it. You think I went off track here, but I didn't. Let me circle back around. these organizations that they have put in place are supposed to keep us safe, but they've lost all credibility, in my opinion. And I think many of you guys are going to agree with me. Let me go back to the report again. Now, this is FEMA. This is their advice. Okay, here we go. In the event, this is how, watch this, quote, nuclear explosions can cause significant damage and casualties from blast, heat, and radiation, but you can keep your family safe by knowing what to do and being prepared if it occurs, the agency says. Quote, fallout is most dangerous in the first few hours of the detonation when it is giving off the highest levels of radiation. The preparation document says, quote, it takes time for fallout to arrive back to the ground level, often more than 15 minutes for areas outside of the immediate blast damage zones. This is enough time for you to be able to prevent significant radiation exposure. The document stresses three steps: get inside, and stay tuned. Okay. It is advised to remain indoors for at least 24 hours or until further instructions are given. Family members should not attempt to reunite with each other outside of the house to avoid radiation exposure. People should stay informed through available media channels, because none of them are corrupt and they're always going to lead you to the right direction, which is essential, to keep abreast of the situation and safety announcements. All right, here we go. Hawaii, Nevada, California, Arizona, and New York were identified as the most dangerous states to live in during a nuclear apocalypse. Do we got anybody in the chat listening by YouTube, Rumble? Maybe you're on Apple, Spotify. If you live in Hawaii, Nevada, California, Arizona, or New York, these are what they are calling, again, FEMA is saying they're the most dangerous states to live in during a nuclear apocalypse. Again, this was from the Irish Star that reported this. And according to nodepositdaily.com, Vermont would be the safest state in the event of a nuclear attack, closely followed, by Maine, Louisiana, Wyoming, and New Hampshire. So if you want to know your safest states, Vermont, Maine, Louisiana, Wyoming, and New Hampshire. Now, according to another report, if Putin and Russia's adversaries became involved in a nuclear war, there are certain countries that potentially could offer sanctuary. This gets interesting. And according to Express News, they include Antarctica, Iceland, New Zealand, Switzerland, Greenland, Indonesia, Argentina, Tuvalu, I believe that's how you pronounce that, Bhutan, Chile, and South Africa. Again, these are the potential locations that would provide potential refuge in the event that this was to take place. So as always, guys, let us know your thoughts in the comments and the chat. This is interesting and it's intriguing. We would hope that it would never come to this. Now, there was a report. Now, if you believe U.S. intelligence, they just put out a report saying that, quote, a nuclear attack from Putin is unlikely, despite Putin's ongoing warnings. Now, again, this is coming from U.S. intelligence. The U.S. decision to allow Ukraine to, quote, fire American weapons deeper into Russia has not increased the risk of a nuclear attack, which is unlikely, despite Russian President Putin's increasingly bellicose statements, five sources familiar with the U.S. intelligence told Reuters. But Russia is likely to expand a campaign of sabotage against European targets to increase pressure on the West over its support for Kyiv. Again, this is according to two senior officials, a lawmaker, and two congressional aides during a briefing on the matter. So let me recap this. So according to this report, they're saying despite the warnings from Putin, the ongoing rhetoric, the threat of war, nuclear war, using nuclear weapons, even though they have the arsenal of Satan missiles, even though FEMA has put out a new guideline and a warning, and then, again, other sources have put out other reports showing what to do in the event of, if this was to take place, these are the safest cities to live in, these are not the safest cities to live in. This would be the result of the nuclear blast and how many would be wiped out by a scenario and a hypothesis, even though all that's out there. They say it's unlikely and that instead Russia would carry out sabotage efforts. Now, this is exactly what is being reported. And I want to show you this. This is from, this is a report from MSN News. I'm going to read this to you. Chinese vessel under orders from Russia to sabotage Baltic deep sea cables. Let me say that again because I got twisted up there a little bit. Chinese vessel, according to this new report, was under the direct orders of Russia to sabotage Baltic deep sea cables. A Chinese ship under orders from Russia has reportedly sabotaged two critical internet cables in the Baltic Sea. Now, guys, do you believe this? Or is this a red? Is this a false flag? If you believe this report, hit Y for yes. If you don't believe that Russia instigated this or was the one directing this, hit N for no. Again, Y for yes, that you believe Russia was behind it, and an N for no. The ship identified by Denmark as the Yiping 3 severed the cables last week when it dragged its anchor along the seabed for over 100 miles. A probe into the severing of the cables along the Kattegat Strait, however you pronounce that, between Sweden and Denmark was promptly launched following the incident on November 17th and 18th. China's foreign ministry has denied any responsibility. Investigators are now focusing on whether the captain of the vessel was, quote, ordered to carry out the supposed sabotage on the orders of Moscow. Wow. Quote, it's extremely unlikely that the captain would not have noticed that his ship dropped and dragged its anchor. This according to a senior investigator. Of course, the Kremlin has also denied any claims that Russian intelligence agencies orchestrated the incident. A spokesperson said, quote, these are absurd and unsubstantiated accusations. So as you can see, guys, even though there's not been more missiles fired per se, these intercontinental ballistic missiles the heavier artillery weapons from Russia, the rhetoric continues to escalate. Now, I want to close with this. I thought this was very interesting. And it kind of ties in with this, but it don't. But I thought this was something, it should not be surprising to you. Again, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. People can say that, you know, they can say one thing, but whatever comes out of their heart is going to come out of their mouth. And you're going to know them by their fruits. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. Look at this headline. I don't know if y'all saw this report, but we put this on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Biden was recently seen coming out of a bookstore during Black Friday and his shopping excursion. He was seen holding a, quote, anti-Israel book. All right, we'll show you this book in just a moment, but Biden was spotted holding a copy of the 100 Years War on Palestine, A History of Settler Colonialism and Resistance, 1917 to 2017. All right, here we go. This is from the New York Post.
Any reaction to the bomb threats and the swatting attempts, Mr. President, this week?
All right, so this is, again, this is the journalist coming up to him. Again, you could see this is his son coming out with, here's Joe Biden, his son. And I don't know if this is Jill Biden or not, but anyway, look here in his hands. This is the book that they spotted here.
The bomb threats against lawmakers and the swatting attempts against cabinet officials. The swatting attempts, Mr. President, this week.
And again, there's a close-up view of
the bomb threats against lawmakers and the swatting attempts against cabinet officials.
And I'm going to put the picture up here so I can show you what this is talking about or what this book is. All right, according to Fox News, the book argues that the modern history of Palestine can be understood in these terms as a colonial war waged against the indigenous population by a variety of parties to force them to relinquish their homeland to another people against their will. It was not clear Biden purchased the book or if it was given to him. Khalidi, who is of a Palestinian Lebanese descent, called the first Trump administration a mouthpiece for Israel and has criticized Israel over the humanitarian toll in Gaza after Hamas killed about 1,200 people inside of Israel on October 7, 2023, in addition to kidnapping hostages, including Americans. Quote, it's perfectly unclear reading the Israeli press what their political objective is. I mean, ethnic cleansing, that's not a political objective. They're doing that. They're driving the population of the northern Gaza Strip into the southern Gaza Strip. But what their political objective is, to me, entirely unclear. And the writings of, as far as one can tell from the Israeli press, he said on the Intercepted podcast in November of 2023. Biden has repeatedly declared his support for Israel, but has been criticized by Israeli supporters for putting conditions on U.S. Aid to the Middle East ally and pausing shipments of heavy munitions to Israel earlier this year. So again, just to recap here, I find it very intriguing and interesting that here comes Biden out of the bookstore and he has a book in his hand in the possession that is anti-Israel and is in a support for a Palestinian state. And again, it really doesn't matter because he is getting ready to transition out of office, and Trump, who is very pro-Israel, and Israel considers the Trump administration or Donald Trump to be one of its greatest friends that Israel has ever had. But again, I think it's interesting because remember Jesus said, whatever I tell you in the darkness shall be spoken in the light, and whatever is said, come on, whatever is hidden, I meant, whatever is covered, it shall be made manifest and shall be known. So this is not, again, this shouldn't be surprising to you. This is definitely not surprising to me. We all knew the truth. We knew where they had been standing all along. So guys, again, we wanted to give you a quick update. Tomorrow, we'll be back on here tomorrow. We plan on being here tomorrow night, for our prayer meeting. Again, that'll be 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, live right here. Same channel, same place. Again, this will be 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night. But before that, but we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern for our midday podcast. And this is going to be an interesting topic. I'm going to talk about, has anyone else noticed the increase of all the UFO activity ever since Trump won the election? I'm not equating it to Trump, but I think it's very intriguing to me because it was almost like everything got quiet about this. And then all of a sudden it's like, once he won the election, this stuff has exploded like every week. And the latest one, the latest controversy comes right out of Washington. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern. So don't miss that broadcast. And then, of course, again, we'll be back here tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern as well. And then we plan on being here throughout the week, Lord willing. Until then, guys, we thank you for jumping on to the broadcast, jumping on today. I know it's Sunday. And I know many of you guys are relaxing, coming home from church, et cetera, taking your naps. Again, if you don't have our free app, get it today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications. You'll be squared away. And as always, guys, we appreciate your generous support of our ministry. And if you would like to support our ministry, if you prayed about it and whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you can do it two different ways. You can give electronically through multiple ways, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia. And that's going to be 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Again, hit that like button, hit that share button, share this out on YouTube and Rumble and wherever you're watching or listening from. If you're listening by podcast, be sure to help us out in the reviews. That's going to help get eyes on our program as well. So guys, we're going to sign off for today. We love you guys. We appreciate you. And until we see you tomorrow, we pray that the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.